One of the things that I noticed last week when we were in prayer on Sunday night, Deborah made a comment, and it was a great comment. She said something that stuck with me all week long. Here's what she said. We need to pray for people who can't pray for themselves. A guy came up to me today in the second after the second service and said, "Will you pray for me, Pastor? My son was murdered last night in San Bernardino in a drive-by." You know, and here's a father, you know, asking me to pray because his son had been murdered in a drive-by. This is a tough city. This is a tough town we live in. But it's okay because here's why. We're here. We've got something to do. We've got a place to go. We've got a life to live. And God placed us here for a reason. You don't need to run from a problem. You need to apply Jesus to the problem. And tonight, when you become an intercessor, you apply Jesus to whatever situation and issues that you may have. That's what this is all about. There's something about catching the heart of God in the word called intercession. The word intercession is so neat. It means simply just standing in the gap for somebody else. In other words, presenting someone else to God who can't present themselves. You say, well, why don't those people, if you will, pray? Why don't they go to God? They can't. They're in bondage. They're in torment. They're in evil temptations. They're in pressures. They have no concept that that's the way out is God. And these people that are in our city and people that are in our state, people that are in our country, people in the world that don't know Jesus Christ, they have no concept of how to do anything. They have no idea about how to pray. Who's praying for them if we don't? I mean, the other drug dealers or pimps or whores or prostitutes that are out there, are they praying for each other? Absolutely not. You know that. Then we need to be a people that stand in the gap. That's what intercession means. And say, Lord, here's our city. Here's these people that cannot pray for themselves. And God, here we are. We're saying, Lord, we're lifting them up to you. We don't know them, but God, we're standing in the gap for them. It's intercession. Without it, it doesn't work. God, we need your mercy. God, we need your grace. Because without it, we're not going to change the city. Without it, we're going to be a nice little church that gathers together and sings a few songs and listens to a phenomenal word of God, but never change the world that we live in. But with intercession, we can change the world that we live in. I really believe it with all of my heart that God's calling us to pray for people who cannot pray for themselves, that we take people who are paralyzed, spiritually paralyzed, and in torment, and bring them to Jesus. And then Jesus will heal them. Let me show you some things about intercession you may not have seen before. God the Father describes Jesus Christ. When he describes Jesus Christ, he uses something, a prophet by the name of Isaiah. As he uses his prophet Isaiah, here's God the Father talking about his son, Jesus. And when he describes Jesus, of course, all of us think he's going to describe the goodness of God. He's going to certainly describe the death, maybe the resurrection, the beating of God. But he also describes his son in a different way that you may never have seen before. In Isaiah, and I'm going to go through a bunch of verses right here because I'm going to make a point. And the point is that we're praying for people that can't pray for themselves. We're intercessors. But here's what God says about Jesus in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And if you'll go there with me and take a look at it. In verse number 12, it says, "Therefore, I have divided him a portion." Notice the capital word H in the word him, talking about Jesus. "I have divided him a portion with the great." Have you ever wondered who the great are? "I have divided him," Jesus, capital H, "a portion with the great." I believe the great's you. I'll prove it to you. Well, I won't fight prove it, but I'll just share what I feel about it as we look. "And he shall divide the spoils with the strong." You ever wondered who the strong is? It's you. I mean, you are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, the Bible makes it very clear that what he has will become yours. Can you imagine such a thing? "Because he poured out his soul unto death, Notice the capital H, Jesus. Of course, we understand that part. And he was numbered with the transgressors. In other words, he took on the sins of all of us. We understand that part and expect that. And he bore the sins of many, and we know that. But this part of the verse we didn't see. And made intercession for the transgressors. In other words, here's God the Father talking about the Son. It wasn't just the cross. It was the fact that he stood in the gap for somebody else. Listen to what I'm saying to you. In other words, he was praying for people who couldn't pray for themselves. That is an amazing thought. I find in the Word of God in Luke, the 22nd chapter, there's a guy named Peter. And Jesus is going to pray for weak people. And Peter is the one he's praying for in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Go there with me and let's check it out. So here we have another example, if you will, of Jesus. And this time Jesus is praying for a weak person by the name of Peter. Satan has come to God and said, I want Peter. I want to sift him. And now Jesus is our example. And Jesus is telling us how we are to be. And he makes this statement in verse number 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned, in other words, you're going away for a while, Peter, to me, strengthen your brethren. In other words, here's Jesus said, listen, the devil wants you. You didn't know to even pray for yourself, Peter, but I have prayed for you. That's called intercession. And Jesus makes it for the weak. And I don't know about you or me, but I'm a weak person. I know Jesus is praying for me. Not only does Jesus pray for me the weak, Jesus prays for his enemies. And I think that's one of the hardest things for us to do is stand in the gap for people we just don't like. My natural man wants to say something like this. God, I'm praying for that person I don't like who's been mean to me and foul to me and crude to me. Get them. That's my intercession. You know what I'm talking about? That's the man side of me. But there's a God side of me that says, Lord, now I need you to forgive them. Because I'm going to walk in forgiveness. And Jesus prays even as an example for us in intercession for his enemies. And you're right there in Luke anyway, the 23rd chapter. Look at it with me, if you will, in verse number 34. And he says this on the cross. He says, Father, as these guys are just beating the snot out of him, blood's pouring out of him, they've nailed him to the cross. He's between two thieves. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All of a sudden, the Father sees Jesus as not just the Savior, took on the sins of the world, but the intercessor. And you and I have called by God to be intercessors, to stand in the gap for the paralyzed world that we have around us that can't pray for themselves. My God, if we don't do it, Lord, who will? If we don't pray for this church, listen, this church is packed with 14,000 people. I'm telling you, listen to what I'm saying to you. Out of the 14,000 people that come to church here at the Rock Church in a week's period of time, can I tell you something? 12,000 of them are brain dead. That's a shock, but that's what I really see and what I really believe. They haven't got it yet. And we need to break it down. And we need to say, Lord, here we are. We're the intercessors. And just because they walk through the door doesn't mean they get it, God. Moses is praying for Israel. I mean, Israel's in sin. God's had it with Israel. In Exodus, the 32nd chapter, it's kind of a cool little verse. He goes to God and he speaks to God. You know, after they messed up so many times and goofed everything all up, I would have prayed, I'm different than Moses. God, get them. Let's start all over. But that's the man side of me and not the God side of me. In Exodus, the 32nd chapter, verse number 32, it says this, yet now, if you will forgive their sins, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. In other words, here he is saying, Lord, here I am. I am the sacrifice for someone who can't pray for themselves. Put it on me. Who does that remind you of? Jesus. No wonder God the Father said, whoa, Moses, you're special. I hear the character of your heart. I hear the attributes of your heart. I see that you're acting like Jesus. How can I not do what you have me, what you've requested of me? And all of a sudden, here's Moses becoming this phenomenal intercessor for people who couldn't pray for themselves, that were caught up in sin. David, as he finds himself messed up, he did something wrong. He numbered all of Israel, and God, it just drove God to the place where it was frustrating to God, and there was a plague in the land, and people were dying because of David. Now, I want you to know something. There are people dying in our streets in San Bernardino because there's not a church that will break it down for them and stand in the gap for them. There's people dying of cancer that shouldn't have cancer. There's people dying of a life that has been beat up. Tonight, as we're praying, there's people that are bleeding in their mouth because they had their brains punched out by someone in their family just a few hours ago. I'm saying that to you by the Spirit. Until we pray, it isn't going to work. People will die. We are responsible for prayer. Because God has saved us, and God has forgiven us, and God has washed us, and God has prayed for us, and God has shown us the way. We are called by God to stand in the gap for somebody who can't stand in the gap for themselves. First Chronicles, it's kind of fascinating. We see David in his heart in 21st chapter of First Chronicles. In fact, in verse number 17, and David said to God, was it not I who command the people to be numbered? I'm the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord, my God, be against me, my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. In other words, here's the same heart that Jesus has. All of us that are in the house of God, that are born of the Spirit of God, you cannot go without praying for the workers on your job. You're there to be an intercessor. You cannot go a day without praying for the families around you. Not just your family, not just for your blessing, not just for your kids, but the others. Because when you start to pray for others, it catches the eyes of God. And all of a sudden, God sees the character of Jesus coming out of you. If it's just about prayer for ourselves, then it's selfishness. And all of a sudden, it takes on a satanic principle. Instead of praying for someone else, we need to be a people that break this down. We need to be a people that say, here's the way it is, God. We live in a city that's hard and harsh, but I believe in a good God, great God. Your power is greater than this city's problems. And I thank you, God, that your hand of protection is on the people. And I thank you for bringing the people out. And I thank you, God, this is a revival center of Southern California. Boy, that's exciting. Jesus is confronted by a guy, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, a centurion. Never thought about it much, did you? Neither did I. Matthew, the 8th chapter, it's kind of cool, let's see it. The centurion has a servant. He comes to Jesus, and he says some things to Jesus. And Jesus, it catches Jesus' eyes, catches his heart. And he answers. Now listen to what he does. Tell me if this is not intercession. First of all, he's coming to Jesus. That's what you and I do. Secondly, there's a problem. Thirdly, he presents the problem. Fourthly, he understands the answer to the problem is in Jesus. Fifthly, he is standing in the gap for someone who can't stand in the gap. Are you following me? No wonder Jesus responds like he does. Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse number 5, it says, now when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Stop right there. Don't you think there was a lot of people coming to Jesus saying, heal me. I need this, I need that, I need this, do this. If you're the God, why can't you do this? Here comes one that says, I care about someone else. My servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. That's like the people that can't pray for themselves. They can't get up and go to Jesus. They can't get an answer from God. It's like our city. It's like our nation. It's like the people that you work with on the job. It's like a mass majority of people who come through these back doors. My goodness, it's like their brain is paralyzed. They come in, they sit, they shout hallelujah. They clap their hands, but the relationship with God is shallow. And I refuse to receive a church that has a shallow relationship. There's one great God, and He demands and He is requiring of every one of us to have a deep relationship with Him. And we're going to pray and believe God for that because they are paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. And I love the next verse. Verse number 7 comes along. And Jesus said immediately, I'll come and I'll heal him. Why did He do it? Because He was lifting up someone else that couldn't take care of himself. That's called intercession. That's a verse about intercession. So tonight, here we are in the house of God, all of us. Tonight, you've got the greatest power of God on the inside, the Holy Ghost. You have a relationship. I really believe in Isaiah 53, when he said he was dividing a portion, he was dividing a portion with the great, and he was dividing a portion with the strong. I really believe it's you. I really believe it's me. Imagine that you could be considered by God and seen as God as strong and great. You say, you don't understand. My parents mistreated me. You don't understand. No one's ever liked me. You don't understand. I've got a lousy education. You don't understand. I've never been very talented, never been very gifted. You don't understand. Everybody's pushed me around. You don't understand. I've never made it. But I'll tell you something that has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with what you think of yourself or what the world thinks of you. It has to do with what God sees you. You're a child of God. Filled with the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And we've got a paralyzed world in front of us. You want to have revival? Revival is not just God breathing on the church, but the church breathing back to God. It's not just God blowing His Spirit on the church, but we blowing to God, the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. And how that happens, it happens, listen to this, because a people get out of a paralyzed, dreadfully tormented state because someone made intercession for them. In our church, our city, listen, we could all pat ourselves on the back. You've never been in a church most likely this size in your entire life. Well, aren't we wonderful? You never fed a million people in one church. You've never been involved in a denomination that feeds a million people a year all of their groceries. You never have been. Oh, aren't we wonderful? Let's kiss ourselves. Aren't we great? But until we loose the bondages of the tormented and believe God for great things, we are a stagnant organization and we'll never be to the depth that God wants us to be. Tonight, we're going into intercession. Tonight, we're going to believe God for the cries of those that are hurting tonight in our city that are bleeding as we sit here. Right now, there are people bleeding in this city. Right now, there's a father whose heart has been jerked out of his chest because his son in a drive-by was shot last night. It's in the newspapers today. Tonight, we need to pray not only for the people that are hurting, we need to pray for our police officers. This church is full of police officers. Chief of Police of San Bernardino goes to church here. This is what we're talking about. This is about believing God for great things. This is about changing the world that we live in. Come on, stand to your feet.